Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Elon Musk podcast. This is a show where we discuss the critical crossroads that shape SpaceX, Tesla, X, The Boring Company, and Neuralink. And I'm your host, Will Walden. If you want uninterrupted episodes of the Elon Musk podcast, please go to clubelon.supercast.com to find out how. There's a link in the show notes. This episode is going to be a little bit different. I'm going to be talking off the cuff about SpaceX's Starship, which will be doing its third test flight, hopefully on Thursday of this week. Now, either Thursday or Friday, we're still waiting for the FAA to approve Starship's flight, but everything else is in place. SpaceX has tested the rocket booster numerous times. They've done cryogenic testing, which means they fill up the booster with cryogenic fluid, and that makes it absolutely super cold, because when a rocket fires its engines, it gets extremely hot. Now, the fuel inside is pumped through. They make sure that the cryogenics work. They make sure that all the plumbing works on the base station down at stage zero. Stage zero is where they launch the rocket from. So they have the rocket launching facility down at Boca Chica Beach, which is also known as Starbase. And the ground facilities, they've had a huge revamp recently. They've added new fuel decks. They've added new plumbing to the thing. It's been millions of dollars in the making. And they've also added new piping. They've added new electronics to the launch deck. They've also added a water deluge system. And if you're not familiar what a water deluge system is, it basically pumps millions of gallons of water underneath the rocket for noise suppression. And so basically the rocket doesn't explode the launch pad. This has kilotons worth of power. It is the most powerful rocket and the biggest rocket that's ever flown. They made it to space last time for the IFT-2 flight. IFT-1 didn't go too well, but it went, you know, better than expected. Elon has said numerous times he didn't think it was going to even get off the pad. But it cleared the pad. It launched. And now the wonderful thing is they learned from the mistakes in IFT-1. And both the rocket, the booster, and the ship itself, Starship, exploded during IFT-1. Same thing happened during IFT-2. But during IFT-2, they started this thing called the hot staging technique. And hot staging is when they ignite the rocket, which is on top of the booster, during stage separation. So about 50 seconds into the flight, I think it's about 50 seconds, about a minute into the flight, they start to separate the rocket and the booster itself. And that's right after max Q, which is the most dynamic pressure that's put on the rocket during this flight. And once they make it past max Q, they know they can go to the next stage, which is stage separation. Now, stage separation is very important because you can't send the rocket booster and the Starship to space. The booster has to come back, land, get refurbished, and then go up again. So what they did last time, hot staging, at about a minute-ish into the flight, they started separating the booster and the ship. And when they did that, they ignited the ship's rocket engines, which is in itself, this is a rarely done move in spaceflight because it's just not needed. But something this powerful, they need to push the booster away from the ship, and they need that extra kick that the ship can get from the booster because it's pushing against the booster as the booster is still pushing forward and up. So they use that kick stage, the hot staging, to push it up even further and faster. So when they do that, the booster gets sent back down towards Earth. It does a flip, almost a full flip at that point, and then it's going to reignite its engines, the booster will, reignite its engines, 33 Raptor engines when they started, but they're going to do a few of them on the way back in, what they do with a Falcon 9 rocket. Very similar. And then they'll land the booster this time, IFT-3, which we're talking about. They're going to be landing that softly in the Gulf of Mexico. Now, if this all goes as planned, the booster won't blow up. They'll do a very soft landing in the Gulf of Mexico because they have to learn how to land this. Elon said it took about 15 flights for the Falcon 9 to land properly. Now, if that's the case, SpaceX has about 10 more flights before the booster will land properly and the ship will land properly. But for Falcon 9, they didn't have a top half of it. The fairing and anything on top of the booster is expendable, except when they send people to space. So the fairing just falls back down to Earth for a Falcon 9. And with Starship, there's a whole upper stage that they have to land, and they're going to land this thing vertically. Now, the difference between IFT-2 and IFT-3, there's a few things that we have to talk about as far as differences go. But before we do that, let's talk about what happened to the IFT-2 ship. It's a few minutes into the flight, after the stage separation, after the booster blew up, as it was doing the flip, they did the flight termination system because they figured that the booster wasn't going to make it. So they blew it up. And a few minutes into the flight after that, the ship was exploded as well because it wasn't going to make it. They released too much fuel. They're going to bleed some fuel out. And then they had to terminate the flight at that point. So booster didn't make it. Ship didn't make it, but from the data that they gathered from both of those occurrences, they made improvements for IFT-3. So when IFT-3 happens, we're hoping for a full stage separation, hot staging, and the flip maneuver by the booster. This thing is massive, by the way. If you've never seen this thing, it is about 250 feet tall. So think of a 25-story building. One of the biggest things it's ever flown, to be honest with you, because it's so round as well. It's so big. It's 30 feet around. It's 9 meters in diameter. So the thing is massive, massive. And they're going to do the flip maneuver, soft land it in the Gulf of Mexico, hopefully. And if they do that, that is a huge win. That's huge for SpaceX. Because then they can move forward with a guided soft landing onto certain parts of the ocean the Gulf of Mexico, or they could do a guided burn back towards Starbase. And eventually, I don't think they're going to be doing it right away. They have another launch tower that they want to build before I believe they're going to do some sort of landing at Starbase. So having a landing pad at Starbase would be okay. Catching it with the tower, that's what they're going for, because they can't do a landing on the booster without catching it. But if you've never seen the catch tower, it's also massive. 400 foot tall, 410, I believe it is, 413 feet tall. It's a massive structure. And when they catch this thing, 250 foot tall booster on a 400 foot tall tower, it's going to be absolutely amazing. So if they do that event, they'll do that eventually. I'm probably going to give them about 10 more flights before they even try that. They have to do a bunch of guided flights, make sure that everything works perfectly fine. And then if they can get it nailed for 5 or 6 flights in a row, I believe they'll be ready to catch it. But they need to get the second tower up, because if something does happen to the catch tower or the launch tower, it's the same thing. Launch and catch is the same thing. So something happens to one of the towers, they need to have a backup, because they can't just wait months if the booster comes in hot, breaks a bunch of stuff, because there's hundreds of miles of cables and pipes that connect everything at Starbase. If anything goes wrong, this thing is made out of stainless steel too. So if anything goes wrong, shards of stainless steel could explode and just devastate some of these pipes, some of the tankers, some of the tanks, equipment nearby. It would be a massive process to get it back up and flying. And also, at that point, they have to deal with federal regulations, the FAA, et cetera. And then that's going to be a big deal. So if something happens that's a mishap, they have to do a full mishap investigation, and it could push them back a year. So they have to make sure this is absolutely perfect. For IFT-3, they're going to try to land the booster in the Gulf of Mexico, and they're going to, which this is a cool part, they're going to launch the Starship all the way to the Indian Ocean. Before, they were going to go to the off the coast of Hawaii, Kauai, for the first two flights. That was their plan. And they switched it to the Indian Ocean for safety reasons. We're not exactly sure. Elon and SpaceX hasn't released the details about the safety reasons, but they're going to be landing in the Indian Ocean. And when they land in the Indian Ocean with a ship, they would have done a few things in between the launch and the landing. One of those things is a fuel. They're moving fuel from one container to another container within the Starship itself. This is for a bigger problem that SpaceX is solving, which is they're going to be doing in-orbit refueling. So they need to make sure that the fuel can actually move around the Starship. And also, they're going to be checking the payload doors for Starship. And the payload doors are very important. Payload doors, it's a Pez dispenser at this point for the Starlink missions. Now, Starlink, if you're not familiar, it's SpaceX's broadband rural satellite internet service. And it's a massive moneymaker for SpaceX. Now, if they could launch hundreds of Starlinks in a month as opposed to 30, it would be a game changer for SpaceX. The revenue would increase dramatically. They can have more coverage and more people using the service, better service for everybody. It's just a no-brainer. And Starship can hold an infinite amount more than a Falcon 9. There's just no comparison to it. So if they can nail this time, the next flight, they may launch some Starlink satellites into orbit just to test it and see if it works. So that might be an interesting one for IFT-4, but IFT-3, if they do, they're just going to test the mechanism to launch those out and the hatch, things like that. And as far as we know, that's it, except for landing in the Indian Ocean and getting to orbit or getting to space for the Starship. And as far as we know, those are the big ones. Those are the big takeaways for this launch. I want to thank you, of course, for listening to the show. If you are a spaceflight enthusiast, come check us out over on YouTube. Space News Pod. Space News Pod on YouTube is my spaceflight channel. Please take a second, go over there, subscribe. Going to be doing a live launch for the Starship tomorrow morning, Thursday morning at 7 a.m. So get ready for that. It's going to be wild. Hopefully the FAA comes through with the launch license within the next 12 hours. That's all we got, though. That's all we're waiting for. Well, thanks again, everybody. Take care of yourselves, and I will see you in the next one. And make sure to subscribe to this show, too, and the Space News Pod on YouTube. Hey, thank you so much for listening today. I really do appreciate your support. If you could take a second and hit the subscribe or the follow button on whatever podcast platform that you're listening on right now, I'd greatly appreciate it. It helps out the show tremendously, and you'll never miss an episode. And each episode is about 10 minutes or less to get you caught up quickly. And please, if you want to support the show even more, go to patreon.com/stage0. And please take care of yourselves and each other, and I'll see you tomorrow.